Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey everyone, before we start the show, here's a quick word from ZipRecruiter.
2020, a new year. It's the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/begin makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to more than 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes and finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlighting the top candidates so you never miss a great match. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/begin. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEGIN. ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
These are the latest pictures from the Mars probe, NASA's most recent triumph in space. Now NASA embarks on its most daring and exciting project yet.
On July 4th of this year, America will blow up the moon. We have the technology. America can, should, must, and will blow up the moon. Yes, and we'll be doing it during a full moon, so we make sure we get it all.
Blowing up the moon fever has gripped the entire country, including the president himself, Guy Whitey Corngood.
Let's do this.
We are just ecstatic, our whole family.
We're going to have a party and watch the moon blow up. I'm going to bake a cake in the shape of the moon blowing up.
Woo! Look out, moon. America's going to get you. Gonna go kaboom. Was nice to have met you, but you don't mess around with God's America.
Bob Zeska.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Zeska Show.
Yeah, see, just replace moon with Iran. And that's what's going on right now. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, January 7, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com, the greatest damn soap ever. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Day 1083 of the Trump crisis, day 108 of the impeachment of Donald Trump, 301 days into the 2020 presidential election. Oh, and here with all new dad jokes for 2020, it's my friend Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Hi, Bob.
Hi,
everybody. Oh, it's great to be back. It's great to hear your voice again. And just to get everybody caught up, he's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we are your war correspondents. That's why we're wearing these helmets. So if you wondered why the hat wear. How was your Christmas break, Bob? Did you have a good Christmas break?
It was wonderful. It was swell. Yeah.
Mine, I think I can sum it up this way. Silent night, holy crap. That would be sort of how it went.
Perfect. Yes, that's exactly the way it went.
Oh. And I'm sorry about that letter you got saying I wouldn't be here today. That was actually a draft letter the Pentagon sent by mistake.
Again.
These things happen.
I know.
Yeah. And here we are. This is sad. Just 7 days into the new year, and I've already broken my New Year's resolution.
Yeah, what was your resolution?
Better jokes. See how that's working out already.
No, I swear to God, Silent Night, holy crap, I'm still laughing about that.
Yeah. Well, I broke my heart, though, over the holidays to see a nation so sharply divided. Mm. It's just a Star Wars movie. There's no reason.
I know, but you know what? Damn, I was
worked up.
I was so happy to be debating Star Wars for about 10 days there instead of the existential crisis facing the world thanks to our idiot president.
It was good while it lasted, wasn't it? No, really, yeah. It was all was calm, all was bright, all was kaboom.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, that's how it went, at least for me. I had a very nice holiday up until that.
Up
until January 2nd.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as long as you were avoiding Donald Trump's Twitter feed, it was great. I mean, if you were looking at Donald Trump's Twitter feed throughout those holiday weeks, then it was just, he can't keep his face out of our living rooms. It's just, I'm so looking forward to having another president. I don't care who the president, I don't care if it's Mike Pence. Just keep your goddamn pumpkin head out of our living rooms 24/7, and then that'll be a vast improvement from what we have now. But before we dig into Iran and everything that's going on, the disaster in the Middle East here, just a couple of brief announcements before we launch in here, Buzz. One of our awesome Patreon subscribers made a Spotify playlist of all of our indie bands. So get it now on our Patreon page. Go there now, BobSeskaShow.com. And there's not going to be a Tuesday or Wednesday show next week. I know. I'm sorry. I have a family obligation that I'm going to go and do, and I'll elaborate on next Thursday's show. So there's that. That's all I got to say about that. Okay.
Family is important. Just want to say family is really, really important. Sometimes friends are more important, but family can also be important.
Yes, it can be. And never at all intense, or there's never tension or butting of heads.
Not over the holidays,
no.
Bob.
No. Of course not. Don't be silly.
All right.
Okay. So, Iran, it looks like we're headed to, I don't even know where this ends. I don't know how this ends. The person who knows the least is Donald Trump.
Right.
And I think that's the best we can say about him is that he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know what's happening next. He doesn't know how he's going to handle it. There's no strategy here other than him, I mean, essentially doing what he did with North Korea in 2017, which is the fire and fury routine. Yeah, look out. Worse. I'm coming after you. Yeah.
Believe it or not, this is even worse. Yeah. Not only does he not know what he's doing, but I think and I hope maybe for the first time more people are seeing that this is no longer just charming.
Right.
This is no longer the reason he was elected. This is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are seeing that now. Veterans, military people, a lot of them support the killing of Soleimani.
Yeah.
But understandably.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's done without preparations, without a plan, without preparing for the consequences, that's dangerous. And this is a danger. I want to point out to the people listening, these are dangers that you talked about from the beginning of Trump.
Yeah.
There may have been people who thought that perhaps you were exaggerating a little.
I know there were. There absolutely were.
Thought perhaps you were out there on a limb a little bit, you know, that maybe it's not that bad. But you were absolutely right. And I want the record to show going forward to everyone here listening today, Bob was right about this and called it from the very beginning. Yeah. And now the nightmare that Bob predicted is here, and it's real, and it's scary. And I think it's scary enough. I hope it is to the American people that they realized that this is no longer the charming thing for which he was elected.
Yeah, and you know what the great irony, Buzz, is that I wish I wasn't right. I wish I was wrong about every last thing I've said about Donald Trump. In fact, I intensely wish that. Every time I write something, especially the some of the things that I wrote in Salon today, I think to myself, God damn, I hope every last word of this is wrong. I've never approached anything I've written in that sense until Donald Trump came along. But it wasn't hard to predict. I mean, here's Donald Trump back in 2015 on the Hugh Hewitt show, being asked by Hugh Hewitt. Now, Hugh Hewitt, again, is a red hat drone. That's a fact. But during that campaign, he did ask a couple of tough questions to Donald Trump. First question that he asked here, this first clip of audio is Hugh Hewitt in 2015 asking Donald Trump about Soleimani and Trump having no blessed clue what the hell Hugh Hewitt is talking about.
Are you familiar with General Soleimani?
Yes. go ahead, give me a little.
The answer is no. That's what he was exactly. really saying. Yeah, yes exactly. means no in that case. And here, Donald Trump is going to immediately go into a diatribe about Iraq and not Iran because Donald Trump doesn't know anything.
Go ahead, tell me.
He runs the Quds forces.
Yes, okay, right.
Do you expect his behavior?
I think the Kurds, by the way, have been horribly mistreated by us.
No, not the Kurds. The Quds forces, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Quds forces, the bad guys.
Right.
Do you expect his behavior to change as a result?
Kurds.
No.
Sorry. I thought you said Kurds. Because I think the Kurds have been very poorly treated by us. Go ahead.
Agreed. So
he abandons the Kurds in Syria. Yeah. So that's the guy. They've been treated so badly.
There are so many tells in this from the, yes. Yeah, that's, again, and I've made this comparison before, that's how a little kid answers when the real answer is no.
Right.
Yes, that hesitancy. At one point, when he's caught up on the Quds forces and the Kurds, you actually hear him accidentally hit a button on the phone that makes him...
Grandpa.
You hear that? Well, which to me is a tell of nervousness. He's he's literally and figuratively fumbling this, and so there are just so many wonderful little things. If you we talk about body language, this is a kind of voice language, if that isn't too weird a phrase.
No, that's right.
In which you can, if you listen to the words and how he says them, it tells so much. And damn it, this should have been a warning to voters. Voters, this stuff was available to voters and to the media and who should have exploited it more to save the country from what we're dealing with now.
Yes.
Why did we have to go through this?
Yeah, there was no, the only reason we're in this now is because, well, I would say one of the major reasons is because Russia was able to exploit Facebook and convince all kinds of people that Hillary Clinton was a demon who was running child trafficking out of a pizza restaurant. I mean, this is the kind of shit that was being pumped into their brains around the clock throughout 2015 and 2016.
And so many other factors that we've talked about before. Right. I mean, that wasn't the only thing, but Trump didn't win by much. So something pushed him over the edge. Yep. And you could name any one of a half dozen things that Hillary Clinton wasn't a strong candidate, or she didn't campaign in the right states at the right time, or that Russia interfered, or that there was voter suppression, or that there was gerrymandering. There are 100 things you could blame that tiny little electoral victory on. That was certainly one of them. Disinformation is one of them. And the king of disinformation right now seems to be Mike Pence. But that's... Which is why I would not be okay with Mike Pence becoming president.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, going back to this tape, though, with this Hugh Hewitt question at the very beginning, Donald Trump says yes, and then he asks Hugh Hewitt to explain who Soleimani is. So Donald Trump's first instinct is to lie about what he doesn't know. So who is Soleimani? Do you know who Qasem Soleimani is? And Donald Trump goes... Yes, lie. That was a lie. Right. And then he goes, explain it to me now. And you might remember this clip, actually, because the way it ended, Donald Trump ends this clip by saying he will be so good at the military, your head will explode. Maybe you'll remember this part.
Donald Trump.
No, you know, I'll tell you, honestly, I think by the time we get to office, they'll all be changed. They'll be all gone.
Now he's talking about all the leaders of Iran.
He thinks they're all going to be gone now. Sure. By the way, I'm advancing like a minute into this clip.
No, I knew you were going to ask me things like this, and there's no reason because, number one, I'll find I will hopefully find General Douglas MacArthur in the pack.
MacArthur.
I will find whoever it is that I'll find, and we'll. But they're all changing you. You know, those are like history questions. Do you know this one? Do you know that one?
I don't believe in gotcha questions. I'm not trying to, you know, quiz you on who the worst guy in the world
is. Well, that is a gotcha question, though. I mean, you know, when you're asking me about who, you know, who's running this, that is not, I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
Stop whining.
This is a gotcha question. Yep. One of the main guys you ends up assassinating. And this is the craziest thing about the presidency is that Donald Trump ordered the death of a guy. I mean, that's just kind of staggering about all this. You can kind of get it from a lifetime politician, someone who's worked their entire life to establish a framework upon which they can build a presidential campaign. Then they become president and then they adopt some of these things that they've learned over the years. Donald Trump was the host of The Celebrity Apprentice, and now he's ordering the deaths of people. Now, I understand.
Killing guys.
Yeah, he's killing guys. Now, I understand the justifications for why Soleimani was killed.
Of course we do.
Right. But the problem is that it's Donald Trump. If you're one of his generals or if you're one of his National Security Council advisors coming in to brief Donald Trump on what we do about the Iran situation, what you don't do is exactly what happened. What they did, apparently, is they presented Donald Trump with a number of scenarios. And then what they did is they made up a really harsh one that will make the scenarios that they want more desirable. So they say, okay, if you hit Soleimani outside the Baghdad airport with a Predator drone, that's going to be something that Donald Trump is not going to want to do. And so what he'll do is he'll reject that one and he'll prefer the one. We used to do this with sketch writing on my my short-lived TV show, where it was an animated sketch show. And so what we used to do is we used to write one sketch that was really over the top obnoxious. I mean, something that the network would never in a million years approve.
Let's start there.
Yeah. And so what would happen is they would see that really obnoxious one, and then they wouldn't care about the less obnoxious one that we actually wanted to get into the show.
It's an old Hollywood trick. Yeah.
Exactly. And so this is what they did with Donald Trump. And he goes, well, let's do that one. Let's do the crazy fucking one.
Well, I've researched this a lot over the last couple of days, and here's what I've come up with. At least since 9/11, presidents have been briefed on these things and have been presented all the options, including the most extreme ones. That's kind of how it went up until Donald Trump was president. And at that point, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said, don't show him that one. Whatever you do, don't show him that one, because he'll take it.
Yeah.
And, well, Jim Mattis and all the other adults are gone now. The Pentagon has lost, at least seven key people in recent weeks.
Yeah.
Which is not good timing, considering what's going on with Iran.
Right. Duh.
Yeah, you know, yeah, so yeah. But Mattis kept this from happening. Well, Mattis and all the other adults are gone now, and so there's no one but yes men, and no one to restrain Trump from going with his gut as he so loves to do.
Yeah,
as he was elected to do, and so now they're once again presenting Trump with all options, and they did in fact. They believed that he would not take that one because it was so extreme. They offered him an array of choices. Mm-hmm. There were many other ways to respond proportionately to the things that Iran had done in response to our sanctions upon them.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it you know, and it makes it harder to trace where this all started.
Yeah.
It's chaos is what it is.
Yeah.
It's chaos at the Pentagon with this and with that letter that went out saying we were out of Iraq and denial that no, we're not.
Well, yeah. And one of the myriad problems along those lines, Buzz, is the fact that Donald Trump is once again wheeling out the madman theory.
which he employed in 2017 with Fire and Fury and North Korea. And that led to all of these ridiculous summits with Kim Jong-un, empowering Kim Jong-un, empowering North Korea, right, and ultimately landing on zero results for Donald Trump and for the United States and for right, peace-loving peoples around the world. I mean, this is...
If anything, things are worse.
Yes.
The difference is we're looking at immediate American deaths here, mm-hmm, because of what he has done,
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
This was more than just talk. He pushed a button here. He ordered a drone strike.
Yeah.
And that's quite different than just tweeting hyperbole to Kim Jong-un,
yeah,
when that's what Kim Jong-un does. So mm-hmm, he was, at that point, he was just playing Kim Jong-un's game, as dangerous as that is,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
But this is actually, he's ordered a drone strike here that's going to now get Americans killed.
Yeah. In fact, it's either Eddie Murphy Raw or Eddie Murphy Delirious. Eddie Murphy talks about how, you know, what you do is if you're in a tight spot, if you're about to get mugged, you pretend like you've got like these amazing kung fu abilities. And he does the whole routine where he's pretending to be like this crazy kung fu master. He does the crazy kung fu eyes and everything. It's a really funny bit from Eddie Murphy. Donald Trump's doing that same exact thing right now on the international stage, where not only did he hit Soleimani with his drone outside the Baghdad airport, but he's following it up now with all of this bellicosity, right, where he's talking about, we don't have an exit strategy. We're just crazy. We're coming in and we're gonna be crazy. Better look out, because look at my crazy eyes. We can do anything. Anything's on the table, including hitting 52 cultural sites, war crimes. Donald Trump is probably capable of most of the things that he's talking about. The interesting thing now is that as Donald Trump continues to do this crazy posture, which, by the way, Don Jr. is joining in with,
oh, sure,
with that, sure, ridiculous crusade machine gun. You know, if Don Jr. wants to be really helpful, he can take his crusades machine gun and go to Tehran right now and see what happens.
Junior loves to shoot animals. I'm sure he'd be just fine.
That's right. The guy who loves watching animals die just for the pleasure, yeah, of it is...
Now he can kill people, too.
That's right. Why not? Why not put his ass on the line? He loves those machine guns so much. He should go actually try to use one in real life. But yeah, so there's this madman theory that Donald Trump has trotted out again, thinking, well, maybe it's going to work. But you know what? It's going to work even less when it comes to Iran. He doesn't understand that there are vast cultural, political, and religious differences between dealing with a place like North Korea and a leader like Kim Jong-un versus yeah, a place like Iran. Or, you know, I mean, there's hardly even any comparison between invading and occupying Iraq versus invading and occupying Iran. And if anyone thinks, and again, you know what? Ultimately, everything could be just fine. You know, that's the weird thing about this. Everything could turn out just fine. The problem is that anyone who's, but anyone who's expecting it to turn out just fine, knowing who's in charge, is deluding themselves.
Ask me if everything's going to turn out fine.
Is everything going to turn out fine, Buzz?
Yes.
Perfect answer. Good answer. Shit, this is again, we're chuckling to keep from crying and screaming.
Well, sure,
but you know,
you have to.
Yeah, the thing is, going back to what I was saying earlier, it's not about the assassination of this general with the Iranian army. This is an assassination of an Iranian official, a very popular Iranian, yes, official.
Second highest official in Iran.
Yes, by a guy who has no clue what he's doing. And all, right, of the wise old men, as you were saying, Buzz, all the wise old men have scattered. They've been fired. They've been booted out of the White House. There's no one there to go to Donald Trump. Hey, you know what? This is maybe a bad idea. I don't think anyone's doing that right now.
Trump's revenge for the attack on the embassy and the recent killing of an American, his revenge for that was disproportionate.
Yeah.
That in itself, according to international law, is a war crime, a disproportionate response to a military action is considered a war crime.
Yeah.
Then, of course, what would have been the planned war crime of destroying cultural sites,
right,
which are, in fact, because they are culture. This is like, we're talking about Alexander the Great kind of historical artifacts here.
Yep.
Destroying culture is a crime against humanity. It's not not just an attack on Iran. It's a crime against all of mankind.
That's right.
That is a war crime. And now Trump has threatened to respond to any Iranian retaliation disproportionately. Trump has actually said it will be a disproportionate response. Again, another war crime.
The saddest thing about all of this, or one of the many sad things, I should say, about what's been happening, Buzz, is that we saw those crowds the other day, just unprecedented numbers of people flooding into the streets in Tehran in support of this guy, mourning the loss of Soleimani. And at one point, I would say a significant portion of those people who were out in support of Soleimani and condemning the United States, a good percentage of those people several years ago were out in the streets once more, but they were protesting in support of Western-style democracy.
Yes,
They were protesting against the current regime that's in charge, the Ayatollahs who are in charge of Iran right now. And now that has all been thrown away because Donald Trump needs to get reelected and change the subject from impeachment. That's why.
Let me underscore what you just said.
Yeah.
People were in the streets demonstrating against the current Iranian government.
Right.
They were very dissatisfied. And by the way, that's because of our sanctions that put such a squeeze on Iran.
Yeah.
The people are unhappy now at their government. Be that as it may, the vast majority of Iranians were protesting their government. And then suddenly, an outside, you know, the Martians land, or in this case, Donald Trump's drones, and kill one of their key people, one of their beloved. I mean, this guy's been responsible for hundreds of American deaths.
Yeah.
But in Iran, they considered him the man who kept them safe.
Yeah.
And he was gone now, and they loved him. And this was the second highest official. So it was a direct attack on the government of Iran.
Here. Right, right.
This is...
I mean, imagine, for example, Colin Powell suddenly exploding outside Dulles or Reagan National Airport or something like that as a Iranian Predator drone takes him out. That's the same thing that has happened with Soleimani inside. If you're an Iranian and if you're a patriotic Iranian, this is how you're looking at all of this.
So now we talk about the rally around the flag effect or rally around the president effect. If, it's been suggested. I know this will shock you, Bob, but it's been suggested that perhaps Trump launched this attack to distract from his impeachment and to boost his sagging poll numbers and to boost his base support. Oh, my, I don't know where you got an idea like that. But strictly a coincidence, the timing? Is that
right, I know. I know. Stephanie Miller predicted it. My God, she said that, you know, as soon as he gets impeached, he's going to start a war with Iran. And this is how it's done. It's not suddenly Donald Trump going, okay, let's start a war with Iran, and going on television or tweeting, okay, we're starting a war with Iran. I'm pressing this button. Go. Here goes the war in Iran. But it's not that way. What he's doing is he's slowly, up to this point, there was a slow escalation. There was a thing that happened, and then we retaliated, and then they retaliated, then Donald Trump takes out Soleimani. And so this is escalating.
Exponentially,
In a way that there's no chance in hell Donald Trump understands how to handle. He has no clue how to nurse along this kind of relationship with a hostile foreign government.
Both countries are in a corner now, and their leaders are both in political corners. Certainly, the Iranian government, although it does not want war, I truly believe that, its people will not be satisfied unless it seeks revenge for this American attack. For political reasons, it has to respond to what we have done here. Likewise, Trump is hoping for a rally around the flag effect in this country, and this will boost his support and unify his support. I would say, from the way it's going, and the fact that it's based on the same kind of flimsy evidence the whole WMD scare was during the Bush administration, I'm not sure. The American people, I don't think, have an appetite for war right now. I don't think this is what people were clamoring for.
Yeah.
And so, well, given all these things that we know about it, the flimsy evidence, the political corner that Trump was in, I just don't see Americans supporting this, and that's going to be, in the end, the loudest voice here.
He doesn't care as long as the 40% or 44%, whatever the number is, as long as they're supporting him, he's going to continue to do whatever the hell they want, whatever they demand, and whatever he feeds them. It's this Ouroboros, this snake eating its own tail. That's the entire Red Hat Army. Trump's feeding them, they're feeding him, and around and around we go. And then it's...
And again, I can't use the word danger often enough here. Yeah. We are at a very dangerous time. It could be argued we're already at war. We're certainly on the precipice of open warfare.
Yeah.
This is not a drill.
Yeah, right. Well, the first plan failed, which is to see if we can intimidate Iran into backing off. So now he's tried this extreme fucking thing that they desperately wanted him to avoid, but yet he's going there anyway. All right, well, we're going to come back to more of this here in just a second. But as you were saying at the top of the show, Buzz, everyone's making New Year's resolutions. And in case you can't think of one, I've got a suggestion for you. We can all resolve to look good in all of our social media photos by wiping out all those fine lines, wrinkles, and baggy eyes with Plexiderm. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just a matter of minutes. When I took the test, all I had to do was apply this powerful serum to my problem areas, my myriad problem areas all over the place. And within 10 minutes, I was a brand new me. And the best part is there's no surgery or Botox involved. It's all natural. Simply put, I was blown away by the results. Ring in 2020 with confidence, knowing Plexiderm is going to give you smooth, younger looking skin in just a matter of minutes. The best part is it goes on clear, so nobody's going to know you're using it. Leave your under eye bags and wrinkles in 2019 with Plexiderm. Bye-bye bags and wrinkles. Hello to a new me. Go to tryplexiderm.com. Use my code SEXYLIBERAL for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. That's right, 50% off plus an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code SEXYLIBERAL. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit tryplexiderm.com today. Use the code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. That's tryplexiderm.com, code SEXYLIBERAL. Thank you. The Bob Seska Show.
The Bob Seska Show.
Well, I called you AK-47. 'Cause you shot me in the heart and sent me to heaven. I gave you a rose gold wedding ring. She melted into a full metal jacket sting.
This is Rigorous Proof. And a song called AK-47 from Postmodern Apocalypse. Link in the description. Thanks for supporting all of our independent bands. We've got a brand new indie music countdown coming up at the end of January with all of our January songs, including this one. Make sure to submit your music to bobseska.com/music. That's all you got to do. Just remember that. Write that down. Remember it. Tattoo it to your forehead so you don't forget. And submit your music. We really appreciate all of the songs, all of the recording artists sharing with us their amazing work. Okay, back to Iran and this slow-moving disaster.
Do we have to?
Well, you know, here's an interesting angle to all of this.
Yeah.
Looks like Donald Trump has not only lost Rand Paul, but Donald Trump has also lost Tucker Carlson. This is an amazing thing. This is Tucker Carlson the other night on his show that Donald Trump watches.
Threats in the region. If you don't live in Washington, here's the translation. That would be in hostile Middle Eastern countries, places where American troops would never be in the first place were it not for the insistent demands of non-geniuses like Max Boot and John Bolton. But never mind.
Wow.
No one in Washington is in mood for big picture questions right now. Questions, the obvious ones like, is Iran really the greatest threat we face, and who's actually benefiting from this, and why are we continuing to ignore the decline of our own country in favor of jumping into another quagmire from which there is no obvious exit? By the way, yeah, if we're still in Afghanistan 19 years sad years later, what makes us think there's a quick way out of Iran? And so on. Nobody is thinking like that right now. Instead, chest beaters like Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska are making the usual warlike noises, the ones they always make. This is very simple, Ben Sasse wrote in a statement last night. General Soleimani is dead because he was an evil bastard who murdered Americans, which is essentially true. Soleimani was certainly a bad guy. But does that make killing him, quote, very simple? It does not. Wow. Nothing about life and certainly nothing about killing is ever very simple. And any politician who tells you otherwise is dumb or is lying. Yes, Soleimani was linked to the deaths of Americans. Nobody mourns his passing. But Mexico and China are also linked to the deaths of Americans. Each has flooded our country with narcotics from which tens of thousands of Americans die every single year. Not that anyone in power cares. So does that mean we get to bomb Oaxaca? Can we start assassinating generals in the People's Liberation Army? Maybe. Maybe Ben Sasse will call for that, too. He's a former consultant, a very tough character.
Hey, there's MSNBC's Tucker Carlson.
You just never know. Maybe he's auditioning. Nothing is predictable. And I still encounter people online who say, "Oh, this is how this is going to go."
Yeah, right.
But, dude, you don't know. You don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Nobody
predicted. No one could have predicted that Tucker Carlson would say such a thing.
That's right.
But he did. And so welcome again to the age of the unexpected.
That's right. It's like what Jeff Goldblum was talking about in Jurassic Park. Yeah, it's like just chaos theory. That's what we're dealing with right now.
Well, yeah, it's not a theory, Bob. It's real. The chaos is real. Take cover.
And that's the problem. I think that's what's putting us all on edge. In fact, that's what's given me this ongoing sensation since 2015, since he first descended the escalator, that sensation of leaning too far back in your chair, almost falling over, but catching yourself just at the last minute before you break your back. That's how I feel 24/7. That's an old Stephen Wright joke, but that's so perfect. It describes the way I feel day to day.
You and Stephen Wright are taller than I am, and so I don't have that problem. I suffer a kind of anxiety, but it's not quite the chair falling over thing.
Yeah, it's just that feeling of being off balance. Like, who the fuck knows what he's going to do next? And he really thinks that is a winning strategy internationally.
Yes.
I mean, he's making us all feel like that. We're just sitting here watching everything happen on our computers.
There are supporters who say so, too. They say, oh, well, that's the great thing about it. He keeps everybody off guard. That's how he works his magic. Well, we're all in, let me just use the word again, danger.
And again, as you can plainly see, Kim Jong-un, totally contained, totally defanged, right? He's like the Bumble Monster at the end of the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon.
Pay no attention.
That's right. As you can see, the chaos theory, the madman theory that Donald Trump employs totally works, totally effective, right? Right.
Wrong.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
Sure. Let's see here. Wait, this was Donald Trump back in October. See if this matches up. We all like to go back to his old tweets, like his old tweets from like 2011, 2012. Yeah, everyone does that. Every time he does something.
We have to. There's one for everything.
There is one. That is absolutely true and a completely valid argument to make. However, I like to go more recently. I like to go way back to yesteryear 2019. Back in October. This is only a few months ago. He said the plan is to get out of endless wars, to bring our soldiers back home, to not be policing agents all over the world. That was Donald Trump in October.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you have to go back even further, back to the dark days of early 2019, where he said at the State of the Union address, great nations do not fight endless wars. You know, something tells me that Donald Trump really doesn't believe in ending endless wars. I think...
I
was going to say, well, here's what he's doing. He's not ending anything. He's taking the guys from, for example, he's taking the guys out of Syria and sticking them in Saudi Arabia to help the Saudis. And then he's going to take some guys, instead of withdrawing them entirely, you know, to end the endless wars, he's taking there, and now he's moving them. He's deploying 3,000 troops to the Middle East. That was almost immediately they were deployed out there. So he's just basically just moving the deck chairs around on the Titanic, so to speak.
It's a Rubik's Cube strategy. Unfortunately, he can't solve the puzzle.
Here's the another frustrating thing that we can kind of see. I mean, there's lots of things that we can't predict. You're exactly right about that, Buzz. But there are some things we can kind of foresee this happening. And I can see that in the coming years, cable news is going to try to frame Nikki Haley as one of the quote unquote normal Trumpers, one of the normal Trump people.
Today.
No, certainly not. Let's put it this way. What's a good metaphor? She's like the Marilyn Munster of this particular freak show. That's the way she's going to be framed. But she's not. She's just actually one of the real monsters. She's just another red hat.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And this story that came out of media, I hear, Nikki Haley accused Democrats, and I saw this tweet come down earlier, she accused Democrats of mourning Soleimani's death.
Right.
Which is not happening. Who is mourning Soleimani's death? Is anyone just like everyone? Do you see any liberals going around your Facebook feed, your Twitter feed?
No.
A buzz.
No, glad. We're glad Soleimani's dead. We're mourning the consequences of Soleimani's death.
Right.
That's what we're mourning. And I think conservatives may have a little trouble with subtlety.
You think? Yeah, that is a bit of an issue with them, especially given their president.
First-hand experience.
Right, right, right. Well, meanwhile, Fox News Channel's Ainsley Earhart finds it, quote-unquote, so interesting that people criticize our intelligence community's decision because, you know, everything can't be made public. You just have to trust them, she said. This is one of the giggling couch tumors on Fox News.
Where does this mistrust come from?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because we've been hearing about how the CIA are like the Nazis since going back to the transition in 2016. And then at every point in between, anytime the intelligence community comes up, anytime the Russian attack comes up, of course, it's the deep state. It's the deep state conspiring against Donald Trump until we actually need the deep state for something important, something that we want to do when we're at risk of losing an election or getting impeached. The deep state, bring them on. We love those deep state guys. That's Donald
Trump. Mr. President, where did you get your intelligence on Iran? Got it from the deep state.
That's right. Well, here's one of the most amazing things about all of this, and we've been observing this for a long fucking time with Donald Trump, is that Donald Trump goes out and says something. I'm going to bomb 52 cultural sites in Iran unless they do what I say, because I'm crazy. I'm crazy Donald Trump, and I could do anything. I'm unpredictable. Here I am. I'm over here, and now I'm over here. You don't know where I'm going to turn up. And that's the kind of act. I suddenly became Alex Jones there for a second. But
you did a little bit.
A little bit. But so Donald Trump is out beating his chest and threatening all kinds of fire and fury against Iran. And meanwhile, the Pentagon has completely ruled it out. So the Pentagon has contradicted their commander in chief and
said, more chaos.
Exactly right. The defense secretary, Mike Esperanza, as Donald Trump refers to him, acknowledged that the quote unquote laws of armed conflict prohibit attacking antiquities. And he said that the military had no plans to do so, even though the president declared them targets. So this is, again, this is the president's own people, his own administration, contradicting him.
It's even funner than that, because he made his original comment that he was going to bomb the cultural sites, and someone from the Pentagon, I don't remember who, but it wasn't the big guy, someone in the Pentagon said, well, no, we can't and wouldn't actually do that. And so a reporter then asked Trump, well, you know, we hear you couldn't actually do that. And Trump says, oh, yeah, they've taken American lives, so we get to do that. Even though, you know. And then, and it was then and only then, that the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, had to come out and say, no, we're absolutely, positively not going to do that. The result, however, is mixed signal that's out there.
Yeah.
That we might do something crazy or we might play by the rules. We may be pulling out of Iraq or we may not be pulling out. We're going to. No, wait. No, we're not. This is the sort of. Yeah. This is. This, This is what you think. This is not dangerous during wartime to send out mistaken letters to make these conflicting claims to point in different directions than where you're actually going.
Yeah.
This is why I'm going to again use the word dangerous. This is a very, very dangerous situation. And the first shot in this war has already been fired. The question is what comes next.
Yeah, exactly. And right now, just it just reminds me of, and everything comes back to Seinfeld for me. So I think of that scene from Seinfeld where Jerry walks into his apartment. George is sprawled out onto the floor with his pants around his ankles. And Jerry says, and you want to be my latex salesman. That's exactly George's Donald Trump administration. And we're all Jerry Seinfeld. And you want to be our commander in chief, right?
Yes,
God damn it.
Right.
God damn it.
All right. One last break and we're going to come back. We're actually going to talk about shocker. We're going to talk about something Donald Trump doesn't want us to talk about. Impeachment right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska!
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. No diversion of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Does she speak eloquently? And would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother.
Yeah, this is Suburban Gypsies featuring Mia Montenegro, one of our favorites here on the show, covering Alanis Morissette's You Ought to Know. Every time I hear this song, I go, Dave Coulier, really? Dave Coulier? That's what this song is about. Did you know that, Buzz? It's about Dave Coulier.
I guess I'd forgotten that or didn't know it. I can't remember.
Yes, I try to erase it from my memory. The fact that this song is written about Dave Coulier. And I can only imagine. We all know who Dave Coulier from Full House, the guy who he does two impressions, Bullwinkle and Popeye.
Without getting in trouble here, I just want to say, what the hell was Alanis thinking?
I don't know.
I don't mean anything by that other than, maybe it was just personally, it was a wrong choice. That's all I'm saying.
That's right. I just, maybe having a relationship with Dave Coulier from Full House was a mistake. I'm just saying, I'm just throwing that out there. So as you reported on your Twitter feed earlier, Buzz, federal prosecutors are now asking for a 6-month prison sentence for former Trump National Security Advisor Mike Flynn, who's 61 years old. 6 months seems, I guess, I don't know if that's appropriate or not. It just seems like to me, sitting here looking at anyone's prison term, I go, well, you know what? 6 minutes in prison is too long. I would not be able to survive 6 hours in prison, much less 6 months. So I guess in that sense,
this was just the prosecution's recommendation. This was their sentencing recommendation.
Yeah.
We don't know what the judge is actually going to do. And I remind you that this is the judge who basically accused Flynn of treason and asked why federal prosecutors hadn't charged him with that.
Yeah.
This is the judge who told Flynn, you have sold out your country. Mm-hmm. So, originally, the prosecution wanted no jail time at all for Mike Flynn because they said he'd been so darn cooperative. And he actually had been until there was some kind of bizarre turn, and then he got some Fox News lawyers. That's where they all come from, all the conservative lawyers come through Fox News. and then into high-ranking, high-profile positions.
Yeah.
So then he gets these Fox News lawyers and stops cooperating and becomes completely confrontational. And it's clear that Flynn is playing for a pardon here. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Stop and think about it. Maybe that's one of the reasons he got a lighter sentence, is because maybe to try to head off a pardon for him. I don't know. But, it can be a very long time. And you try to think about yourself in that position, being in jail for 6 hours or 6 days or 6 weeks or in Flynn's case, 6 months. That's pretty rough. But at the same time, we're talking about a guy who the judge feels, so that's the recommendation. We'll see what ultimately happens. I think the judge may go a little stiffer than that.
It might
be 6 years.
Right. Well, Bradley Moss, who is also representing with his law partner, Mark Zaig, representing the whistleblower in the Trump-Ukraine story. Bradley Moss also tweeted, if Flynn winds up serving time in jail because he fired his very competent lawyers and hired a Trump sycophant, mm-hmm, from Fox News Channel to spew out a bunch of conspiracy theories, all of which failed, I will laugh for hours, and so will I, and so will us all.
Yeah. Because I this is a very serious crime, and I think deserves a more serious, I think a more proportional sentence considering the severity of the crime. I think 6 months is low, and even knowing what that would be like for myself, that seems like this seems more important than that. We need to send a message here. A younger man might not be so intimidated by 6 months.
That's right. And if I am the judge in this case, whose name slips my mind, but if I'm this judge, I'm thinking, okay, so this guy fired his competent attorneys and brought in these charlatans from Fox News Channel.
Ranted and raved and made wild claims and tried to delay things. And
conspiracy theorists, yeah.
Piss the judge off even more, yes.
Right. I would throw the book at this guy. I would say, you're making a mockery of my court. You're bringing in Fox News bullshit into my court of law, where bullshit should have no place whatsoever. So take your bullshit, and here's a 6-year prison sentence, you motherfucker. If I'm the judge, I'm saying all of that except the motherfucker part.
Later in the law books, listed as the bullshit decision.
That's right. Oh, you know, I forgot to do this right at the top of our conversation. Well, Flynn wasn't really.
If you have any doubt, it's gonna take him out, Ukraine.
I guess I can get away with it because
you can't let that happen to me.
Because Flynn isn't really Ukraine, but close enough. Russia.
Oh yeah, wait. He was very much involved with that.
Yeah. So Moscow Mitch is close to having the votes to move forward without witnesses or new evidence, which I guess in reaction to this, Nancy Pelosi's only option is to say, well, we're just going to keep sitting on these articles then, and you're not going to be able to do anything. And we're going to be able to keep saying, oh, look at impeachment. It's still a story. It's still a thing. We're going to drag this out indefinitely on into the general election if we need to. And
I think there could be additional hearings related to the articles already passed. And I think there could still be one or two more articles of impeachment and the inquiries necessary to lead up to them in the House. I can see this thing building if we all survive the Iran thing.
That's right.
But I can see this growing. It's such a relief in some ways. Whoever thought it's such a relief to get back to the impeachment that has presented us with a constitutional crisis. That is so much better than actual war. I never wanted to be a war correspondent. I never ever wanted to be. I don't want I don't even want to have to report on war. That's how much I don't like it. But here we are now covering not only the war effort, we're now covering the impeachment still as well. Some people said immediately, because of Trump's attack, we're going to forget about impeachment. Impeachment is going to lose its momentum. That's the end of that. No, it isn't. A lot of stuff has been happening over the break and continues to happen as we speak.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because this is something, in fact, I've been talking about off the air with T-Rex, David Ferguson. We've been talking about the idea of us being in a position where it's our job
to cover this decline that's happening all around us. I'm talking about the decline politically with people like Donald Trump. I'm talking about the climate crisis, which
absolutely
I'm hoping at the very least the cup half full aspect of Australia, for example, is going to be more awareness of this fucking nightmare that we're staring down the barrel of, and that we actually start to do something, that maybe this disaster will finally shake us out of our torpor so that we actually start to read about this and we actually make steps to mitigate the crisis. But my concern is that I didn't really sign up to be covering the end of a human civilization as
well,
we know it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? There's that too.
There is that.
And isn't it bizarre, as as it is tragic, that the most existential problem, that is the survival of the planet, it really has to be third on our priority list right now for people in the United States. The first is, of course, concern over the Iran war. The second, Trump's Iran war. I want to start saying that more.
Yeah,
The second most pressing priority is the removal of the dangerous president so he can inflict no further damage.
Yeah.
And then, at number three on the list, the survival of the planet. We'll try to, it's on our list, Bob. We're trying to get to it.
That's right. I mean, again, it's how this shit drops into our laps. And I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
We can.
The problem is,
absolutely.
Yeah. I just think sometimes when it comes to the climate crisis, it's just overwhelming. I mean, there's only so many photos of dead kangaroos that we can look at, dead koalas in our Twitter feeds and Facebook pages before we start to tune out. And it's sad that we're not, you know, taking to the streets or doing what has to be done in order to stop the end of human civilization. Because it's really not just, I mean, I always say this, but it bears repeating, that it's not about the planet. The planet's going to be just fine. The planet will recover. It's
with
about,
or without us.
Yeah, it's about the human beings on this planet and some of the other species that rely on the very delicate balance in our climate. And we're screwing it all up. And so there's that. Yeah, yeah.
It's urgent. It's absolutely urgent.
And, right.
And it breaks my heart that we can't get right to that because we've got to carve through some jungle first, and namely Trump and the Iran and his Iran war.
Well, back to the impeachment and everything happening there, and Moscow Mitch and trying desperately to move things along as he's doing. One of the things that could be done on the House side, while you know we're waiting on these articles of impeachment to be handed down to the Senate, is John Bolton. Why did you get John Bolton in to testify in the House? He's obviously shown a willingness to testify in the Senate, and the same with Rudy Giuliani. They both said, we will testify as witnesses in the Senate trial. Well, if they're willing to do that, it's very easy for Adam Schiff to go to a judge and say, hey, look, they're willing to testify. Right. Why won't they testify to the House? We're all part of Congress. Why don't you just come on down and we'll have a chat with him in a skiff somewhere over there. And so it seems to me as if that's the logical next step. The only downside to that is the protracted court battle that'll take place, because neither of them, Rudy and Bolton, neither of them will say, oh, okay, well, we'll see you in a minute. Adam Schiff will be right down. They're not going to do that. And so what they're going to do is they're going to take this to court and they're going to challenge it. And it's going to require,
do we know that about Bolton? I mean, I don't trust the guy any farther than I can throw him, but do we know that about him? I know it's true about Rudy. I know Rudy would never cooperate with the House, but if Bolton's not, if they're not going to have witnesses in the Senate, we still don't know that for a fact yet. It certainly looks that way, but that's not written in stone yet. But if there are not going to be witnesses in the Senate trial, I think Bolton has a story he wants to tell.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's
He's indicated that before, and he says he'll do it with a subpoena. That may be a signal to the House that he'll do it with a subpoena. When asked directly about it, and you know, I've seen some misreporting on this, but the answer from the Bolton camp, would you testify for the House? No comment. They haven't said whether he would or not. He's keeping that option open. I think he would rather have the House. Rudy obviously would prefer the Senate because he has visions of being able to talk about Hunter Biden and Burisma and all of that and waving his dossiers around and
yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what, so Rudy would absolutely jump to testify, although I don't know why anyone would want to hear from him. Except, of course, Republicans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't expect Rudy to say a goddamn thing. The people, though, right, who I wish would start going up to the next nearest microphone and blabbing everything they know are people like this this latest official from the Pentagon who resigned probably in protest over Donald Trump's decisions in Iran. And so I feel like these officials who were in meetings with Donald Trump and who know the madness that's happening, that's taking place in those meetings, these people have an obligation to warn the American public about what they have seen. And so far, only a few of them have done it. The brave men and women who turned up in the House impeachment hearings. More like that, please. Can we please have more people with some balls who will be willing to warn us? Yeah.
We might have those people. There are about, as I said, seven who've left the Defense Department, have left the Pentagon in recent weeks. As things, the hairier things got, the more people vanished from the Pentagon.
That's
and,
right.
You know, they're covered here and there and in military news, and most people don't see it. They don't hear about it. But when you put them all together, as I have done for my newscast this week, you see, oh, my gosh, this is a brain trust that we've lost. Scrolling down here, one of the guys who's out, his name is Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart is out.
Really? Holy
Jimmy
shit.
Stewart.
Merry Christmas!
Jimmy Stewart was the Pentagon official in charge of personnel and readiness. It's not like we need him right now.
No, of course not. He's expendable.
These are the kinds of people and the level of importance that we're talking about are the kinds of people who have left the Pentagon in recent weeks. It started about December 5th and continued as recently as yesterday when the chief of staff for the defense secretary resigned.
Jesus. Well, just leaving you with this little bit of a homework assignment. This is, in fact, a fun homework assignment.
Oh, we need some fun right now.
Do yourself a favor and go to YouTube and type in John Bolton, Fox and Friends, and watch John Bolton. There's a clip of John Bolton on Fox and Friends. I don't know if this is from maybe 5-6 years ago. It's not from recently. But John Bolton was on Fox and Friends, and he got on to some sort of one of those floor exercise things that you and Steve Ducey grabs John Bolton by the flanks, by the love handles, and starts twisting him around. And John Bolton makes this face with his mouth wide open, laughing as if it's the funnest thing in the world. It is the most disturbing video I have seen in a long time, at least in the realm of politics and Fox and Friends. It's just a weird little clip of John Bolton on Fox and Friends doing that weird exercise machine. And it doesn't even look real. It looks like it could possibly be like a deepfakes or something like that. Oh, and by the way, speaking of deepfakes, we got to talk about deepfakes here coming up in the postmortem show. Facebook has wheeled out another policy. And of course, it's fucked and stupid and doesn't do the full job that it needs to do. So we're going to talk about that coming up here on the postmortem show. And as you heard, Buzz Burbank News and Comment every Thursday. This Thursday, it'll be the best hour of news you're going to hear all week. And it's comprehensive, informative, thoughtful. And there's a teeny tiny commentary in there for me, too. So,
yes, there is. Very good.
That is that. And by the way, if you want to sign up and listen to the Postmortem Show that's coming up next after this music stops playing, We Keep On Talking. That is the Postmortem Show. It's sort of like Overtime with Bill Maher, but not on the Bill Maher Show.
I'll just leave everybody else with this. The one time that I met Steve Ducey in person, I'm not a violent person, but the one time I met him in person, I just wanted to slap him.
See, he was the guy for the longest time. He was on WRC in Washington, D.C., the NBC affiliate. And he was the guy who would come on at the end of the newscast and do the kicker story, the story about the grandma with the potato chip in the shape of Abraham Lincoln. That's this kind of story.
He was the field reporter who interviewed grandmas with weird shaped potato chips when he was on the air in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh shit! So he's been doing this from coast to coast for many, many years, but now
the president watches him every morning.
Sleep tight, America. Postmortem show coming up next. We'll see you over there, folks. Bye bye.
Twenty twenty. a new year. It's the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/begin makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to more than 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes and finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlighting the top candidates so you never miss a great match. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/begin. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEGIN. ZipRecruiter.com/begin. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.